And this is really, like I said, it's one of those things on some Sunday nights. I know I sound like I'm teaching more than I'm doing anything, but sometimes I just call it treaching. I try to do a little of both because I know that it's needed. Amen. We're living in a time where teaching and taking time to learn God's Word is not popular. It really isn't. You'd be surprised how many churches I've been to that are just so, they don't know what they believe or why they believe it. They tell you what to believe, but they have no foundation or take time to explain to others what we believe. Amen. And tonight, we're going to do an introduction to pneumatology or a study or introduction to the Holy Ghost is what we're doing tonight with the Lord's help. And really, if you go to Acts chapter 2, we'll go there first and foremost, and we'll just take our text from there. But Acts chapter 2, we'll just read a few verses, and we're going to leave our hat there and just preach with God's help. And Acts chapter 2, and everybody knows familiar verses of reading in Scripture. And we won't stay long in Acts chapter 2. We're going to kind of just be jumping through the Word some. But Acts chapter 2, and if you get there, just give me a good amen. Praise the Lord. All right, Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And we're going to read just a few verses here, and we're just going to move forward into our message. And I'm sure you've heard this preached on before. So anyhow, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen? Well, that's where we're going to have our text come from tonight, and we really won't dwell there long. But this is the introduction. This is Acts chapter 2, the introduction really to the Holy Ghost. But I want to tell you, even though we go to Acts chapter 2 as our text tonight, how many knows that the Holy Ghost is all throughout the Bible? Amen? It was not just a New Testament thing, even though it was a New Testament outpouring. The Holy Ghost and the introduction to the Holy Ghost, we're going to have to tackle the whole entire Bible tonight, and I just want you to try to keep up, and we're going to try our best to preach through this tonight. But let's pray and just ask God to give us favor in this service. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the things of God, Lord. And we ask you tonight, sweet Holy Ghost, that you would come by and you would help us preach your word. We ask you, God, I ask you for your anointing, Lord, to take this truth of your word, God, and make it real to everybody that's in this room. I know I've preached for about the Holy Ghost probably 10 times since I've been here, Lord. But God, I want to take time tonight, God, not just to have a passing comment about you, sweet Holy Ghost, but with the Lord's help, I want to describe who you are in the Word, and I ask you for your help and your assistance in doing so. And in Jesus' name, we'll give you all the glory, we'll give you all the honor, and we'll give you all of the praise. So tonight, with the introduction to the Holy Ghost, we have to ask this question as we move into this message. I'm going to ask the question, and by the end of this message, Lord willing, we can answer this question. I'm going to ask us, who is the Holy Ghost? Amen. Who is the Holy Ghost? We know throughout the Bible there's so many different titles and names that are given about the Holy Ghost. As a matter of fact, we will deal with this just a little bit, but there are 10 different names attributed to the Holy Ghost and 11 different symbols that are in the Word of God when it comes to this one that we refer to as the Holy Ghost. We do know that the Holy Ghost is that person of the Holy Trinity whose office is to move in the life of the believer here on earth, and through the Holy Ghost, God ministers to those that are His. We know that He is God active here on earth right now. D.L. Moody said this. This is what D.L. Moody said. D.L. Moody said the Holy Spirit is God at work. I want you to get that in your mind. The Holy Ghost is God at work in this world. Anything that you have tonight spiritually, yes, it's tied back to the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. But the only reason you know the reality of that is through the Holy Ghost and His dealings and His ministry in this world. It's not something that you just discovered in the Word on your own and begin to say, look, I believe that and I understand that. But everything we have in the Word of God, everything we have and everything that is attributed about the Lord Jesus Christ, we can look to the Holy Ghost and say, thank you, Holy Ghost, for introducing us to all of your truths and to all of your benefits. Now, first and foremost, we've got to understand something. something when it comes to the Holy Ghost. We ask the question, who is He? And we know that He's the third executive of the triune Godhead. But further than that, we've got to understand who He is. We've got to do more than just say, well, He's the third part of the Trinity. We've got to do more than just to say that He's the Spirit of God. We've got to understand who He is. And in order to understand who He is, we've got to reach into His personality. We've got to reach into His attributes. We've got to reach into His titles. We've got to reach into His symbols. We've got to take our time. And that's what we're going to do here tonight. We're going to delve. We're going to reach into the Word of God. And more than just saying the Holy Ghost is the third part of the Trinity, I want us to leave here tonight, understand that the Holy Ghost is not just a thing. It's not just a substance. It's not just an energy. The Holy Ghost is a person. The Holy Ghost has a personality. The Holy Ghost has a character. The Holy Ghost has attributes. The Holy Ghost is something that can feel. It's not just some distant energy. Sometimes you hear people refer to the Holy Ghost as some form of energy that just comes into a room. Yes, there's a spirit. Yes, you can feel the Holy Ghost. But what He is a person. He is a person. He is a person. I want you to get that in your mind tonight. The Holy Ghost, we've got to understand first and foremost, as we tackle this, the Holy Ghost is in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit is in the Old Testament. We understand that the Old Testament uses the expression Holy Spirit only three different times in the Old Testament. The word Holy Spirit is only used three different times in the Old Testament. However, the doctrine of the Holy Ghost and the doctrine of the Spirit of God, it plays a large part in the Old Testament. While only spoken of directly three times, the Spirit is spoken of indirectly 88 different times in the Old Testament. It goes from being mentioned only three times, but we understand that His involvement and His movements can be traced to 88 different accounts and 88 different times in the Old Testament. From the very beginning of the Bible, the Holy Ghost is mentioned as the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. It's referring to the very Spirit of God, the very Holy Ghost there. So understand this. He is mentioned many different times in the Old Testament. There are three ways, my friend, I want you to get this and have your minds. There are three ways that the Holy Ghost is revealed in the Old Testament. Three different ways. The very first way in the Old Testament that He is revealed is that creative Spirit. And we just mentioned that in the book of Genesis that we understand that He is the creative Spirit. You'll find His work in creation. You'll find, my friend, that when it came to creation, it was more than just God saying, let there be light. But I'm telling you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost had their hands in the creation. The whole divine triune council had its hands in the creation. So number one, we see Him as the creative Spirit. You can find reference in Job 26, Psalms 33, Genesis chapter 2, and Daniel chapter 5, where it refers in different forms as the Holy Ghost being that creative Spirit. Number two, in the Old Testament, the Holy Ghost is referred to as that dynamic Spirit. He is known for His created works. You'll find in Genesis 41, you'll find referring to one about Joseph and that Spirit of God, that knowing Spirit of God. You'll find in Exodus 35, and also you'll find it in the lives of the prophets in the Old Testament, where God used them in a dynamic way. It was a way of preaching. It was a way of prophecy. It was a way of visions. It was a way God used them, men. How many knows that? Amen. We know when Samson took a jawbone and slew those Philistines, the Spirit of God was upon him. We know that many times Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel would say, in the Spirit of the Lord. And we know that Joel would say, in the last days, God would pour out His Spirit. You'll find that He's there in that dynamic way, that dynamic Spirit. And also, more indirectly, you'll find Him as that regenerative Spirit. That operation is not really emphasized in wording, but you'll find words like this in the Old Testament. This is Isaiah chapter 63, actually what we read from today. But it says, they rebelled and vexed His Holy Spirit. Therefore, He was turned to be their enemy, and He fought against them. Then it said, they remembered the days of old Moses and his people, saying, where is He that brought them up out of the sea with the shepherd of His flock? Where is He that put His Holy Spirit within them? Referring to the Exodus and that life in the wilderness. So my friend, we do understand tonight that He is mentioned in the Old Testament many different ways in many different forms. He's not just a New Testament theology, though it's a new dispensation and a new outpouring. He is still there even in the Old Testament. Next thing we've got to understand about the Holy Ghost is not only was He present in the Old Testament, but the next thing about the Holy Ghost, you've got to represent and realize the divinity of the Holy Ghost. The question must be now asked, is the Holy Ghost divine in every sense? Is He just as divine as the Father and just as divine as the Son? Is He just as unique? Is He just as precious? And I would give you a resounding absolutely yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. That Holy Ghost is still. He is divine. He has a divine nature. He is in the complex unity of God. He is in that triune Godhead. The Holy Spirit proceeds from God. He is sent from God. He is God's gift from man. My friend, He came from heaven. He is a part of that triune Godhead. So the beautiful thing about this is this. When the Holy Ghost comes into a room, you are in the presence of part of the very Godhead. When He comes into your life and testifies of Christ in you, and when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you're getting filled with the very Spirit of God. Think about that. My word, we ought to be a little more excited about it. God actually gives you the Holy Ghost. It's actually His Spirit. Now the truth is today, if I was to somehow take your spirit from you, you'd be dead. But it's amazing. God can share His Spirit and we're all alive. Isn't that beautiful? It is. We are having, you say, well, I'd like to have the same Spirit that Christ had. You can. His name's the Holy Ghost. He was what was working in the life of Jesus. He was what was working. He's sent from the Father. He is divine, my friend. Hear this today. Though the Spirit is one with God, He is still distinct from God. He is still separate from God. And you say, Brother Derek, I don't understand all that. Look, a lot of people don't understand it all, and I can't describe the Trinity. The best thing I can say to you is this, God knows, and I know that it's real because it's something I can feel. Amen. If I had to depend on this up here, I wouldn't get too far. Amen. I know everything ain't feeling, but I'll tell you one thing. It's a good thing to know when the Holy Ghost is moving in your life. There's nothing compared to it. It's different. It's better than drugs. It's better than alcohol. When God's moving in your life, it's a beautiful thing. It's a real thing. It's an intimate thing. It's something that you can feel. So understanding the divinity of Christ, or the divinity of the Holy Ghost, we have to understand His divine attributes that are ascribed to Him. Number one, get this in your mind today. The Holy Ghost is eternal. You know, Acts chapter 2, it won't like God just created the Holy Ghost and threw Him down at us. The Holy Ghost is eternal. You'll find Him. He is eternal, just like the Son was eternal, just like the Father is eternal. We know that the Holy Ghost is eternal. You say, Brother Derek, give me some Bible. Sure will. In Hebrews 9 and 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Not only is He eternal, but He is omnipresent. This is what the psalmist David says, whither shall I go from Thy Spirit, or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into the heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. The Holy Ghost is everywhere. Isn't that a good thing? The Holy Ghost in North Carolina is the Holy Ghost in Virginia. The Holy Ghost in Africa is the same Holy Ghost here. You know, it ain't like all of us have a separate Holy Ghost. It's the same Spirit. That's the beautiful thing. It is the same Spirit. So He is omnipresent. Not only that, He is omnipotent. He is that one that is omnipotent. He has all power. We can read in Luke 1 and 35, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Those words were mentioned to Mary when she told she was going to conceive one of the Holy Ghost, and she was going to be a virgin. She said, how can it be done? Well, that's easy. The Holy Ghost can do it. He's all-powerful. He has the ability and He has the power. Not only is He omnipotent, but He's also omniscient. He also knows everything. That's why 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says this. It says, but God has revealed to us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, the deep things of God. I'm telling you today, my friend, these are the attributes of the Holy Ghost. He is all-knowing. He is all-powerful. He is omnipresent. And it's a beautiful thing, my friend, that He knows the deep and the secret things of God. How much more should we talk to Him? And how much more should we listen to Him? You say, I want to know more about the Lord. That's good. Pray. Let the Holy Ghost speak to you. Let the Holy Ghost take you further. You'll know more about the things of God than you've ever known before. He is all-knowing. You got a question? Why don't you ask the Lord? Amen. Sometimes we wait for somebody to try to prove something to us and say, well, it ain't happened to you. This ain't happened. Don't you pray about it. Let the Holy Ghost begin to revelate to your spirit. He is all-knowing. We have not because we has not. I want you to also understand this today. There are many divine works that are ascribed to Him. As I already mentioned, we mentioned creation, but also regeneration. You do not get saved. I've already mentioned this, but I want to reiterate it. You do not get saved unless that Holy Ghost draws you. Unless that Spirit is working in you. That Spirit of God's trying to draw you to a fountain. He's trying to bring you to the blood of Jesus. And when He brings you to the blood of Jesus, and you get underneath that flow, and you get purged, and you get born again, not only then, He's not just drawing you then, He wants to infill you and deal with you and show you things that you've never seen before. So we also know He's in creation, He's in regeneration, but guess what? He's also in the resurrection. Amen. Brother Clendenin, years ago, and he can't say I agree with all theology, but I like what he said here. He said he was trying to figure out the rapture. He said he's just always trying to figure it out. He said, I never knew. How's that going to happen? Hey, Lord, only God knows. It's going to be a great act of God. And he said he was wondering one day, God, maybe you're just going to call the Holy Ghost on out of here and everybody's going to go up with it. I don't know. I'm not saying you have to have the Holy Ghost to make the rapture. What I'm saying is this, that Spirit of God worketh in the resurrection just like He did in the life of Jesus. If you're going to make that resurrection, it's going to be a part of the moving of the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God in your life. So hear me today, my friend. I want you to understand this. He is attributed in the regeneration and resurrection. And I also want you to understand this. He is placed coordinate rank with the Father and the Son. We've already dealt with that Son. That's what the Bible says. Go ye baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and who? The Holy Ghost. Amen. He didn't try to sit there and distinguish which one's greater. No, there is no division in the Godhead, I promise you. There is no division in the Godhead. They are coordinate rank with the Father and with the Son. We also understand that we can read throughout the Bible that the Holy Spirit is the finger of God operating in this world. He is equal part of the Godhead. Now, let us jump into this. I want to get this today, but I want to introduce you to the personality of the Holy Ghost. Now, personalities are something that are very unique in different individuals. Everybody has a different personality, don't they? When I used to work all the time, I had an uncle that I worked with for probably about a few years. And his personality was different than mine. And every now and then our personalities, we didn't argue or nothing, but he would tell me, you talk too much. And I would say, well, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be so talkative. And every now and then he'd say, you joke too much. And I said, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to joke too much, you know. And then there's other times I say, you're too worried. You're too worrisome, Uncle David. I say, you know, you shouldn't stress about this at job. Nothing, we won't hurt you or nothing. But I say, I'm telling you, he had a worrisome personality. I tell you, you borrow $5 from him, he's coming to you the next day for that $5. He's just that kind of guy. He ain't going to let you forget, and rightfully so. He said, well, brother, it's just the principle of it. He just has a different personality than I. So personalities are different everywhere, even in this room. Personalities are different. It's just the way it is. It doesn't make you right or me wrong. We just have different personalities. But you know the Holy Ghost has a personality? And it's flawless, and it's perfect. And if anything, if there's ever a disagreement, guess whose end is on? It's on mine. I ain't going to look at the personality of the Holy Ghost and say, well, something wrong with it. That's something wrong. He got a character flaw. No. God, the Holy Ghost never has a character flaw. He is the God of heaven. It's better to conform to Him. Many have denied, hear me today, my friend, in my studies, many have denied personality to the Holy Ghost because He does not have a body. There's people, when you study the Bible, study different ideas, they're saying, well, the Holy Ghost can't have a personality because He does not have a body. He does not have a body, so He cannot have a personality. Because instantly, we always wanted to distinguish a personality with a body. We just like to do that. We like to say, well, that individual, I recognize him by this face and by that tone and that personality. But people say the Holy Ghost does not have a personality because He does not have a body. And I would argue He does have a body. He's called the church. Amen. He has a personality. He has a body. This is something we understand. One man said this in writing. His name was Meyer Perlman. He said, personality and also possessing a body must be distinguished. Personality is that which possesses intelligence, feeling, and will. It does not necessarily require a body. Moreover, lack of a definite form is no argument against reality. Let me put it this way. I can talk to you on the phone and never met you and pick up on your personality. You know, you could be a part of another, you know, in a different part of the country. I can talk to you on the phone, never seen your body and never seen your face. But 10 minutes on the phone with you, when we get to know each other a little bit on the phone, I can pick up on your personality without ever seeing your body. So we can't understand this today. The Holy Ghost does have a personality. He is somebody that has intelligence. He is somebody that has form. He is somebody that has that personality that we just spoke of. Now understand this today. There are two reasons people want to say that the Holy Ghost does not have a personality. And that's first and foremost throughout the Scripture. The Spirit's operations are invisible, secret, and internal. You do not always see the dealings of the Holy Ghost. Even tonight, the Holy Ghost can be invisibly dealing in your life, and I would have no clue about it because He's the Holy Ghost and He can do that. That's why we got to be careful, isn't it? Sometimes God may be dealing with somebody and you never even see it, but God could use you in that. You could say, well, God, but that's why it's important to hear the voice of God. So you can see what God is doing in somebody's life. I've been guilty, I'm going to be honest with you, I've been guilty in holiness and indignation when I first got saved of saying things that I squandered what the Holy Ghost was doing in somebody's life, and when I prayed about it later, God reminded me I was wrong in that situation. Because I thought myself I could handle it when really the Holy Ghost was handling it already. So we have to be careful that we understand that His ability is invisible and internal and moving in people's lives. Also, the second reason people say the Holy Ghost does not have a personality, because the Holy Ghost never speaks of Himself or represents Himself. He always comes in the name and representing another, Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost is always hidden behind Jesus Christ in the depths of our inner man. However, it is possible to attribute the character traits of His God, of the Holy Ghost, when we begin to study His names and His symbols and His workings. It is true today that you can look at artwork of somebody that you have never seen and you can pick up on some personality traits in that artwork. For instance, you ever heard of that crazy guy named Vincent Van Gogh was his name? Cut his ear off, sent it to his grave. Strange. Weird. You know, every time I look at one of his paintings, I say, that was a weird guy. I just look at it, I said, strange. You know, you can tell something's wrong with that guy. Something ain't right. Because you can see something bleeding through that painting there. I can say, well, something's weird. We won't go down that road. Never mind. I had a strange relative that had that same issue. But anyhow, I want you to understand this today. The personality of the Holy Ghost can be noticed throughout the Scripture when we look at His attributes of His personality. Let's understand this. I want you to establish this. A personality has mind and has will. Your personality has a mind about it, and it has a will about it. But so does the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost has a mind. Understand this. The Bible says this in Romans 8 and 29, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God and to them that are called according to His purpose. We understand there that the mind of the Holy Ghost is for the good of the saints. We know that is the mind of the Holy Ghost. Number two, I want you to understand, not only does the Holy Ghost have a mind, but the Holy Ghost has a will. 1 Corinthians 12 and 11. But all things worketh that one in the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will. So the Holy Ghost has a mind, and the Holy Ghost has a will. The Holy Ghost has a mind. He also has a will. Another thing we can study about the Holy Ghost is His personal activities that are ascribed to Him. We can understand something about Him. Hear me today, my friend. One thing that the Holy Ghost does, He reveals. 2 Peter 1 and 21. For the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved on by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost has the ability to take a man and to speak through him or give him things to write down and deal and devil and pass out and begin to deal out to the church world. The Holy Ghost has the ability to reveal. Do you know even right now the Holy Ghost can reveal things in this service? He doesn't have to use me. But has God ever? Yes, there has been times I felt like God has showed me things. And guess what? God will also show things to you. I would encourage you as parents, there's things that you cannot see that God can show you. I remember Brother Jeff Hensley is who my wife got saved under. He was a minister. And he said his dad was a guy, he just felt like his dad and the Holy Ghost had coffee or something all the time. He said it felt like God always spoke to his dad. He said his dad would cut him off doing things. He said, I was praying and God told me this was you were doing this and this. He said one time, Brother Brother Hensley said one time he had in his trunk there, he had a cooler full of beer. He said he was rebelling in his teenage years. And he said he'd entered in his trunk. He said there was a cooler full of beer in there. And he said he went to school or went somewhere that afternoon. And he said after school he went to his trunk and opened it and the cooler was gone. He said, so his mind got to thinking. He said, all right, there's only two keys to this car. He said, I've got one. He said, Dad's got one. So he said, he instantly thought, he said, well, he said, I need to go talk to my dad. So he said, he went home and told Dad, he said, hey, Dad, is this, how you doing, son? He said, you know, have you been in my car? He said, yeah, I got that cooler beer. And he said, I dumped it out down the sink there. He said, who told you I had a cooler beer? He said, I was praying. He said, God told me to go look in your trunk. He said, I did, son. And Brother Hensley said, who knows? That could have been the night he got in a drunk driving accident, killed somebody or got killed. But the Holy Ghost can reveal. The Holy Ghost can reveal. Pray and ask God to give you wisdom and show you things. Not only does the Holy Ghost reveal, my friend, but the Holy Ghost also teaches us. John 14 and 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you, I'm telling you, my friend, the Holy Ghost is a wonderful teacher. He is a wonderful teacher. Not only is he a teacher, but he's also witnesses of our position. Galatians 4 and 6. It says this, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Guess what, my friend? The Spirit will testify in front of you if you're born again or not. I get worried if somebody never has a security in the Lord and feel like they're saved. You know, I understand the devil will fight people and tell you not saved. But I'll tell you this, the devil, that's just like the devil, and he's always a liar. If the devil telling you not saved, guess what? Believe the opposite. The devil tells you can't get the Holy Ghost, believe the opposite. If you got the Holy Ghost and you know you were filled, and the devil starts saying, well, you never got filled, just believe the opposite of what the devil's always trying to tell you, because he's a liar. It's just the truth about it. So understand, he also, the Spirit of God will be a witness in your life. And guess what, my friend? There's been a bunch of times that the Lord's just reminded me, look, you are my son. You are my child. And he's done that through the Holy Ghost. Not only does the Holy Ghost show us that, but he also intercedes for us. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we are, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Isn't it a good thing to know the Holy Ghost can intercede through you? You ever been to pray and didn't know what to ask for? Anybody ever been there? But have you ever been to pray and you didn't know what to ask for, but you begin to weep and cry and felt the presence of God? And I believe that at times the Holy Ghost just comes right along and he's telling Lord, this is what he needs today. Even though God knows the triune counsel, we know that. But he can intercede for you and through you. That's what the Holy Ghost can do for us. He intercedes. Not only does he intercede, my friend, but the Holy Ghost also speaks. The Bible says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Can God still speak to us? Yes. God can still speak to us. I've mentioned it before. When I got called to preach, I'll never forget it. I said, I'm a schizophrenic. At first, I did not understand what was happening. But I'll never forget the most penetrating words as I felt the Spirit of God speak to me. And laying on my face behind a pulpit, something like this, back in that old swampy church up there on that hill. I remember laying there after work one day and I said, God, I don't know why you preserved my life. I don't know why you saved me. I don't know why you delivered me. There's got to be something you want me to do. I'll never forget the words. Derek, I have called you to preach. I will protect you wherever you go. I remember that. He said it twice in my spirit. And it was the most beautiful thing in my life. The Holy Ghost still speaks to His children. And if you don't believe that, my friend, ask Him to hear His voice. I'm not one of those that just says, look, you know, I know God can lead through inner leadings. There's different ways the Holy Ghost works. But I tell you, some of the greatest experiences of my life where God has come down and spoken into my heart and I knew it was Him. It's precious. So He knows that He speaks. But guess what? The Holy Ghost also commands. Oh, my. The Holy Ghost also commands. There's sometimes the Holy Ghost will command you and say, no, don't do that. Don't go there. Don't be a part of that. Acts chapter 16, this Paul says this. Luke says this about Paul. Now when they had gone throughout this region of Galatia, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. After they would come to this place, they were saved to go. But the Spirit suffered them not. The Holy Ghost told them not to go there. You know, we like when the Holy Ghost tells us, go. But we don't like when the Holy Ghost tells us no. You've got to understand the difference. Sometimes the Holy Ghost says, yes, go. That's it. That's my will. But I've also had the Lord in my life at times says, that's not my will. And someday, and a lot of times he'd tell me that because finally I would listen. After I'd been invested emotions and times and efforts, and I had to go back and disassemble what I tried to build. And God said, I told you that not to go there anyhow. If you listen to me, son, I love you. I told you this. So you have to understand the go just as well as the no. So there's times that He commands. We know that He testifies of Christ. Let's move along in this because I don't want to lose you, but He testifies of Christ. But when the Comforters come, who I'll send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me. Now notice this as well. There are feelings about the Holy Ghost. You know the Holy Ghost has feelings? And I ain't talking about in His teeth. I'm talking about He has feelings. And that's why something, this is probably one of the greatest realities I feel like needs to be awakened in our lives. God feels. God feels. He's not some God on a planet somewhere like Zeus, like Greek mythology, that's disconnected from people and He just makes decisions because He's bored. That's not God. God feels. He invests. One of the greatest pictures of God feeling is at Calvary. Did not God feel that? Did not the Son feel the nails and feel the whip? Do not we see and are able to have a glimpse into the Garden of Gethsemane? Do we not see Jesus sweating great drops of blood? Do we not see Him feeling? But just like Jesus felt, the Spirit of God feels. Let's look in the Bible. It says this. It says that the Holy Ghost can be grieved. You know, the Holy Ghost can be grieved. You know, I hear it. I'm a new parent and my daughter isn't too rebellious yet. I hope she never gets rebellious. Right now, the only thing that hurts is crying. and it hurts me because I don't like to see her cry. And other times, I'd rather be asleep while she's crying. You understand? You know, I feel that. But I'm sure there's some parents in here that can tell me sometime during your life, some area, if it was just temporary or whatever it was, well, you were grieved because something a child did. Or I have been grieved at something a relative did. We all can say at one point in our lives, we were grieved. Something happens. But you know, God is grieved. And you know, sometimes we have things happen to us occasionally. The Holy Ghost looks down and views this world. There's things going on all the time. He's told no and rejected every day. He's offered Calvary every day. He's dealing every day. People tell Him no. Ephesians 4:30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, wherefore you are sealed unto the day of redemption. He is grieved when this world rejects Him. Do not grieve the Holy Ghost in your life. I want you to practice this in your life. I want this to be personal and practical. Every time you're at home and you feel like you've rejected the Lord, if it be in anything, say, Lord, I just grieved you and I'm sorry. Isn't this something that you ever got to a place where there was just somebody in your life you were afraid of hurting? And you, of course, you should be afraid of hurting anybody. But I remember my dad, more than a whip, that I used to hate when he looked at me and said with tears in his eyes, son, that hurts me. And I would think to myself, oh, whip me, Dad, hit me, do something. But don't say that one. Don't, the tears and all that. Because he really meant it. You could tell that it was something that really bothered him so bad that it grieved him. Can you imagine how the Spirit of God may feel at times? If we tell Him no, or we don't listen, or we don't give up things He's dealing with us on, or we don't follow Him, we can grieve the Holy Ghost. Notice this. Also, not only you grieve the Holy Ghost, but guess what? You can lie to the Holy Ghost. Amen. Sometimes you may never do it verbally, but you can do it with your actions. Lord, I love you. And then go do this. Lord, have your way in a service and never really intend for God to have His way in that service. Don't lie to Him. Because sometimes God's way may be a 5 or 6 hour church service and maybe a 4 hour altar call where we're just praying through and God's moving and God's changing and God's filling and God's healing. You know, God have your way, but don't say that unless you really mean it. The old saying is this, Christians don't tell lies, they just sing them. Amen? Christians don't tell, Lord, we're looking for you to come back, and never really look for them to come back in 6 months. Lord, I love you, God, I want to do your will. And God couldn't get you to do His will if He had to twist your arm, and He had to send an angel by to get you to go and do His will sometimes. So we've got to be careful what we sing. Make sure we understand that the Holy Ghost can be lied to. But I will caution you this. Be careful that you don't lie to Him too much. Because we do know people have dropped dead in the Bible when they had that rebellious heart. Not only can you lie to the Holy Ghost, but guess what? You can blaspheme the Holy Ghost. There is a sin unto death. Say what you want about the Father. Let me put it this way. So you can speak against the Father, speak against the Son. But if you speak against the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm not drawing that line and saying that word that is. But that word blaspheme really means to defame Him. Don't take the things of God and defame them. I've had somebody ask me one time, Brother Derek, what is a good example of blaspheming the Holy Ghost? Because when I was a sinner, guess what? I did it multiple times. And I thought when I first got saved, I said, I never can be saved now. But I realized I did it out of ignorance and I was a sinner. But I realize when I get saved, this word, when the Bible speaks of blaspheming the Holy Ghost that was directed to a religious crowd, I thought to myself, and one day I was praying about this, God, what does it mean to blaspheme the Holy Ghost? And I felt God just show this to me. And I'm not saying it's a divine revelation. I am saying God showed this to me. I thought about when I was asking God to show me what it would be to blaspheme Him, I felt like God reminded me, are you not saved? I said, yes, Lord, you saved me. Are you not filled? Yes, God, you filled me and you've been cleaning my life up. You've been showing me things. You've sanctified my heart. You've replied. You've done so much for me. And then I felt God almost allow me to see what it had been like if I backslide and go out in this world and say, there's nothing to that thing. God ain't nothing to him. Holy Ghost, filled with the Holy. Who wants to be filled? Even joking, not even saying that casually gives me goosebumps. Because for me to walk away from God and say, He's never done nothing for me, that's almost pointing back at the potter and saying, look, you ain't done nothing. You see how ridiculous that is? If you've had hear me today, if you've been saved and you've experienced things in God, be careful if you go to this world how you treat the things of God. I worry about somebody that can come to church backslid and come to church backslid and come to church backslid with a brazen face and never shed a tear. I think to myself, man, you better loosen them things. You better let them walls fall down, because I'm telling you, you're sitting right in the midst of the triune Godhead. You're sitting right in the midst of the dealings of the Holy Ghost. And if you can sit there with a brazen face knowing the things of God, something is wrong. So the Holy Ghost can be blasphemed. I do want us to understand that. So also understand the Holy Ghost has personality. It is indicated by the fact that He was manifested in the visible form of a dove. We know that Jesus was baptized. He came down in the form of a dove. And He is gentle. He is faithful. And He is peaceable. You know, just like a dove, you know, He's a peaceful creature. He didn't come down in the form of a buzzard. He came down in the form of a dove. Amen. Let's move along on this, because I realize I've taken liberty. And now we're moving to the names of the Holy Ghost. And I may have to go over most of these another time. But when we look at the names of the Holy Ghost, there are 10 different names given to the Holy Ghost. Number one, He's called the Holy Spirit. You ever had somebody ask you, do you call Him the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost? All right. You ever had somebody ask you that? What does the Bible call Him? He calls Him both. And if you use it interchangeably, it doesn't offend me. But I will say this, the Holy Ghost is mentioned, I think, six times. I mean, the Holy Spirit is mentioned about six times. The Holy Ghost is mentioned 90-something times in the King James Version Bible. So it does kind of favor one over the other, but it's up to you what you call Him. He knows what your intentions are. Because in Swahili, they call Him something completely different. I've learned that. Amen. So we understand He is the Holy Spirit. The use of the adjective holy in Spirit's title identifies Him unique and even with the Trinity. He is holy. And guess what, my friend? He is going to work holiness in your life because He's the Holy Spirit. Number two, He is the Spirit of God. That's why it says, grieve not the Holy Spirit whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. The title shows that the Spirit is the representative of the Father on earth. The Holy Ghost draws men to Christ. He reveals and leads believers. He is the Spirit of God. Number three, He is the Spirit of Christ. Isn't that amazing? He's the Spirit of God. He's also the Spirit of Christ. It says in Romans 8:9, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. The Holy Spirit imparts Christ's life into us. He produces the fruit of Christ in us. He reveals the things of Christ to us. He imparts the power of Christ to us. He is also the Spirit of Christ. Not only that, my friend, you ever heard of the Comforter? Amen. Now that word Comforter, Paracletus, however you want to say it, sometimes we look at that word, and John Wycliffe, he chose Comforter as the best translation, and you'll find this all throughout, four different times in the Bible, John 14, John 15, and John 16, four different times it's mentioned. It's mentioned by Jesus, and that word Comforter is mentioned. But I do want to say this, when you study the word Comforter, the word has more to it than what we give it at times. When we think of a comforter, we say, look, somebody needs comforting. We think, look, they got tears in their eyes, and they need somebody to comfort them. But that word comforter in the Bible, my friend, this is what the original word means. That word comforter in the Bible, it means Holy Ghost, and it means like a guide, it means advocate, it means a partaker, it means an interpreter, it means an advice giver, it means a governor, it means an assistant, it means a helper, caretaker, attorney. So more, my friend, which I want you to get this today, the word comforter belongs more in a courtroom than it does a sick room. It's kind of the idea of being that guidance and that leadership. How many people need guidance in this room? I need it every single day. I need it tomorrow. Guess what? I need it for Wednesday night on what to teach. I need it on Sunday on what to preach. I need it when trying to deal with situations. I need that. You know what? We've always had this idea. If I could sit down with Jesus, you know, like Peter and them, I feel like they had it pretty unique. They had a question. Jesus, what did this parable mean? Jesus, why could we not cast out the devil? Jesus this. They got to sit down with Jesus. And sometimes we'll sit there and say, man, it'd be nice to have Jesus right here to talk to. You do. His name is the Holy Ghost. It's instead of. He sent the Holy Ghost not to replace Jesus, but to be that voice and to be the testimony for Jesus. There's my wife. Well, we won't worry about the piano tonight. I'm sorry. But we do understand. I'm so used to saying that, if you noticed. But the Comforter, we understand He is the Comforter. And I'm going to move along with this. We don't have time to go over all of it. He's the Spirit of grace. We'll go over these another time. But one of my favorite, my friend, is this. He is the Spirit of adoption. He is the Spirit of adoption. He makes real the sonship of the believer. You know, sometimes I heard a brother one time preach a message on who's pushing your swing. And he talked about the idea, you were younger, you know, you had somebody pushing your swing. You know, my dad used to do it. You know, we do it out here in VBS. I had two going at one time one day. I was going both hands. And the idea is this, you know, when you feel secure, you have a good time. You realize that you're secure in that. Somebody's pushing you, somebody you can trust. And the whole idea of the message, he was simply saying, who's pushing your swing? Have confidence that God is your Father. Have confidence that He's going to keep us. I tell you, if you would stand to your feet tonight, I appreciate you listening. And I have about five more messages on this. I ain't going to wear you out on them. But I do feel like it was important tonight to introduce you to who this Holy Ghost is. I know tonight we look at this and it may seem, maybe in a sense, maybe it would just seem elementary in a form that we would go over something like this. But I tell you, my friends, we need to be reminded. I don't want to tell you to seek for the Holy Ghost or seek for the fullness of the Spirit. I want you to understand what you're seeking for. You're seeking, and we all are trying to maintain and keep it cultivated and be fervent in it, the fullness of the Spirit of God. The very Spirit that was in Jesus, the very life of Christ, God has that working within you. And what we need to redeem, I believe, like in the church world, once again, what does the Bible say? Know ye not that ye are a what of the Holy Ghost? A temple of the Holy Ghost. Everybody today, I want you to individually focus on yourself right now. Keep it in your mind. Look, I am a temple. You know, yes, the Holy Ghost moves in a church corporately, but say, look, I am an individual. I am a temple of the Holy Ghost. And once again, that idea of being temple and tabernacle by the Spirit of God, to me, is one of the most precious things in the Bible. You know, it's just the way my mind works. You know, the angels, they're in the presence of God. You know, the angels are exposed to so much wonderful and glorious things. But you know, we never read in the Bible where the angels have access to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I believe the angels desire to look at our experiences and say, wow, isn't that a wonderful thing? Think about that. Isn't that a beautiful thing that God would actually take His very being, His very life, His very Spirit, and He would take them old pots of clay, and He would give them those heavenly riches and impart that to them? I know the angels wonder about it, but even more, I bet the devil hates it. I bet he can't understand it worth nothing. The demons can't understand it worth nothing. Why would Jesus die for them? Why in the world, when they willfully disobey, why would He do that? Not only die for them, but fill them. Do you know if God would have just saved you and forgave you and said, look, tough it out till you make it, my friend. You know, here, that would have been good enough. That would have been merciful enough. But He don't do that, does He? He says, look, son, I've provided a way. And I'll tell you one thing. You ever seen it, you know, out there on 17, I don't know if they'll ever finish that highway. I feel like every time I say it, I tell my wife, I say, it just got worse. I say, I need new tires every time I go down it. Amen. I know Ms. Firth and their company's over there. But it's, the highway's rough, isn't it? They're still working on it. But I'll tell you this. When God made this highway of holiness, He did everything that was necessary. He didn't just provide forgiveness, but He provided help to keep you and guide you along the way. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. I want to encourage you to seek for Him. Ask God to come down. If you're not fit, seek. I'm doing this to kind of cultivate a seeking among all of us. But can we just for a second, we're going to pray around this. Can we just thank the Lord for the Holy Ghost? Let's do it. Dear Lord, we thank You tonight, Lord, for the sweet Spirit of God. Lord, what we feel when we sing, what we feel when we preach and teach, the excitement we have, even when we every day we wake up, we feel the presence of the God Almighty, Lord. We thank You for sending the Holy Ghost. And Lord, we invite You into our lives to continue working, to continue dealing, God, to continue strengthening, Lord, and filling, Lord. Deal, Father, reveal to us, Lord. Let us understand You are a person. You have a personality. You have attributes, Lord. And Lord, I would say today, Holy Ghost, You are so sweet. You are so perfect, Lord, and I love You more than anything. Thank You, God, for being what we need to be, Lord, and being the moving of God here on earth. For we love You and thank You in Jesus' holy name. If you would tonight, find you a place to pray around these altars for a little bit. Let's begin thanking God. I hope you received something from His Word tonight, and I just would that God would continue to help you and strengthen you in the name of Jesus. I love You with all of my heart. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You.